Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Rootless Living Podcast in episode number 99. My name is Damien Ross. Besides being the host of this podcast, I'm a full-time RVer, aka digital nomad, that has lived and worked in all 48 states and easily traveled more than 75,000 miles since 2017. I'm currently working on a 240-acre homestead in Oklahoma, and in my free time, I publish two magazines, Rootless Living and RV Today. I'd love to have you as a subscriber to either magazine, so head over to either rootlessliving.com or rvtoday.com, grab your subscription, and help us continue to publish these magazines. Now, on today's episode, I have a great conversation with Gretchen, and we get into what it's like being full-time rootless, traveling with your husband, and also your five kids. That's right, five. Now, if you've been thinking about traveling full-time with your kids, this is the interview for you. But like always, before I say too much, let's get into the episode. All right. With that, I want to welcome Gretchen to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for asking. So where are you in the world right now?
Mississippi.
Nice. A little campground.
Yeah, we're at a campground in Mississippi. One of our favorites.
Nice. I love that people have favorites. People are weirded out that people go back, but we'll get into that. I like favorites. What do you consider yourself? Full-time, part-time, sometime? No wrong answer.
Full-time.
Awesome. When did you start full-time?
In March of 2019.
Nice. Okay. And then what are you currently traveling in?
We travel in a 2018 KZ Sportsman 332 BHLE, and it's a travel trailer.
Nice. And since you said we, who travels with you?
That would be my husband. And then we have five kids. And so it's Levi, Garrett, Mackenzie, Abby, and Wade.
Wow. Five kids on the road. I think there's going to be some people that's what they want to hear and learn about. Awesome. Okay. Well, let's go back before March of 2019. Where were you guys living? What were you doing for a living? And, you know, just what that looked like. And then we'll get into like how you came up with the idea to go full time.
Okay. Well, in 2019, we were living in Laurel, Mississippi, and we were actually in full-time ministry. My husband was a pastor there. And so that's what we were doing before we decided to go full-time. We had actually been in 15 years of ministry.
Oh, wow. And then Where did the idea come up to go full-time?
He went to a minister's conference in May of 2018 and came back home and felt like it was time for us to change, our lifestyle, change jobs. He had a different idea of something he wanted to do. And so that's where the idea came from about we felt like we were going to have to travel with him, and he didn't want to leave us behind while he went traveling. So he came up with the idea, well, let's try the RV life. And we had never heard of it, didn't even know if anybody really did it. And then we started researching on YouTube and found a couple families that we started binge watching to see how they actually did full-time RV life with families.
Very cool. Do you know the genesis of the RV is a traveling salesman that wanted to take his family on the road with him?
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I'd had Rootless probably about a year or two, and I went to the RV Hall of Fame Museum in Elkhart, Indiana, and was watching a presentation, and that is like one of the guy like had it custom made, and it literally was just because he didn't want to be away from his family. And I thought, how funny, it's full circle now where people are literally taking their families on the road to work. And that's how it started. So funny to me. Let's talk about the kids really quick. Were the kids homeschooled back in 2019, or was that new to when you hit the road?
No, actually, we were homeschooled, me and my husband, growing up. So it was kind of natural. We fell into homeschool as soon as we had kids and knew that they were, you know, they got up to age to do school. So they were already doing homeschool. We just enjoyed the idea that we were going to get to take it on the road and expand besides the books, you know, outside of the books, and, you know, learn with hands-on experience.
Oh, that's great. It's funny that I was very anti-homeschool before I hit the road, and I met, you know, road schooly kids. And then I was like, okay, so there's a, you know, for whatever reason, the California homeschool kids, it was just different. You know, they're wearing jeans, you know, from head to toes. Boys and girls have long hair, very antisocial. And so that was like my idea, my stereotypical, really bad stereotype of that. And then meeting kids on the road that have been homeschooled, phenomenal kids, like really great. And, you know, I think parents do worry about, you know, if they take their kids out of school, which you didn't have to battle that, and then hit the road and homeschool, what that's going to be like for the kids. And so far, all I've seen are real positives.
Right.
That's very cool. What's your travel schedule like since you guys left? You know, and I mean, I'm sure it ebb and flows, but, you know, give me an idea of like how many states, what your like sweet spot stay is. Obviously, you'd mentioned that you're at one of your favorite campsites. Like, so just give me an idea what your travel schedule is like.
Sure. Okay. So we travel a little differently because my husband does have to come back to the state of Mississippi to do some in-person work. Okay. So we kind of like make our trips out. So we'll have like a destination where we want to go, for example, let's say Michigan, and we'll travel out. We'll have a certain time limit of how long, how many months or weeks we want to be gone. And we'll make our plans and we'll go out and we'll see it all. And then we'll circle back around and come back to Mississippi for about a couple weeks to a month, depending on how long he needs to be back in the home state. And then we'll do that several times a year, just hitting different places. And that's how we've been doing it for the last 4 years. It works pretty good for us. I know it's not, you know, normal people, they take off from home base in their home state and they kind of, you know, go out there and stay out, but we have to come back. So it gives us time to check on family and catch up on doctor's appointments, dental appointments. So we get to kind of stay in touch with all that. It makes it a little easier, but that's how we plan our routes.
And that's interesting. I think the last guest I had was a hairstylist, and she, even though she hit the road, she tried to keep her core clients. So she would go back, I guess coloring is every 6 to 7 weeks. So she would head back to like her home area every 6 to 7 weeks and then do a couple of weeks of clients and then hit the road again. And so
yeah.
I totally get the going back. Do you guys still have a house there or no?
No,
we
actually don't. We didn't have a house. We actually lived in a parsonage since we were in ministry. So we didn't have to go through the selling of the house. So no, it's just the RV, but we have, like I said, a favorite campground. So in Mississippi, we love Little Black Creek, and it's a state park that got bought out privately, but we have a great relationship with the owners and we get to stay here as long as we want. We get to book it, you know, for months in advance and months at a time if we need to. And then we go back to my husband's parents and they have all the hookups that we need when we're back up that way, which is in central Mississippi.
Gotcha. What did you have a downsizing experience though, going from where you were living to the RV?
Yes, we definitely did. Cause we had a house, so we had plenty of stuff that we had accumulated over the years, and we did downsize, which, you know, I found at first that was probably one of the hardest things when my husband came to me and said, let's do RV life. And it was like, I don't want to get rid of my stuff, you know? And so that was probably the hardest part. But once I made up my mind, you know, we would keep heirlooms, things that were important to us. We have a storage actually at my in-law's house. They have a shed that they built a storage, and we were able to put our stuff in there instead of have to pay for storage. And then we did garage sales, a bunch of them prior to going full time, so we could get rid of stuff and then actually, you know, use the money for other things. And so it was kind of like a humbling experience. But what I've learned is that a lot of the stuff we thought we needed to keep, we've actually never gone back to grab. So, I mean, like we were discussing that we need to even go through our storage now because we've got so much stuff in there we haven't touched in years. And you just kind of think, just like when we moved in the RV, we brought a whole bunch of stuff with us at first, thinking we're going to need all these kitchen utensils and all these appliances. And then as you live in it full time, you realize we don't need that much stuff. So you downsize a little bit more each time.
Yeah, I think there's like really cool purge tricks that you can do. I think one that maybe I haven't mentioned on the show is where people will put a Post-it in a pan. And yeah, like every year they'll check if that Post-it is still there, then clearly they didn't use it. And it's like, why do we have this? And I guess you could do the same thing. You could put tape on, you know, any kind of your utensils. And at the end of the year, if that tape's still there, then clearly you didn't use it. Cause I feel you that the downsizing process was tough. And then it's usually a little bit of time after that you're like, wow, that was actually really good because I can't believe the amount of things we just accumulate because there's space to put it and we just keep buying things.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Right. And you still have that even living full time. I mean, when we come back to Mississippi seasonally, we'll go through the whole RV and what we're not using, we either donate, we store, or we get rid of. And you have to stay on top of it because of weight issues, but also for clutter, because it's so easy for things to get cluttered up.
Yeah, I guess my encouragement now too is that if someone that's hitting the road and, you know, everyone's like, what is it that I need? And I'm like, you know, with Amazon and, you know, really, you know, just local retail shops, you can hit the road. And then once you say to yourself, ooh, I wish I had this. And then if you notice it a second time or even a third time, then yeah, go out and grab it or order it from Amazon. You can get it. But to try to prepare for everything on the road, you'll do the same thing. You'll just stuff your RV with stuff that you'll probably never need.
Right. Exactly.
So one of the things I like to do is, it's kind of a trick question, a little hard to answer for some people, maybe different for you too in a way, that if your old life before full-time RVing cost you $100 a month, what do you think this life is costing you? Is it more or less, and how much more, or how much less?
I would say our old life, we probably used about $3,000 a month on, you know, just living expenses with our family of seven. And I would say now, we probably spend about $500 more than that. So it's only increased about, you know, $500 more. But that's also, you got to take in consideration, our kids are getting older, and then you got inflation. So, I mean, everything's kind of gone up. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's increased a lot. There's a lot of things that we've saved money on because of being full time. And then there are some things that are more costly and more expensive, and things that you have to put aside, money you have to put aside for things that you wouldn't in a sticks and bricks, you know, like maintenance and repairs that come often.
Well, I mean, you kind of bring up an interesting point that if it is only $500 more a month, even, you know, calculating inflation and stuff like that, what was your experience level before the RV? Were you guys as a family doing as much as you're doing today as a family together?
No, we were not. I mean, we occasionally got to go on a little adventure and, you know, go to the movies, go to museums and go do things. But most of that was just living expenses, just trying to maintain a lifestyle. It wasn't, I mean, most of the money that we spend now, it's, you know, for experience. It's, you get to go, you might be paying for your water, your electric, and utilities at your campsites, but you're actually getting an experience outside of that. So yeah, I would say there's a lot more living going on with that money now than what there was.
Yeah, especially with only a $500 difference and everything that your kids are experiencing, you know, hands-on, it would be hard to add that to your old life and stay within a $500 budget to be able to do that. So it sounds like it's a big win from the experience. I think a lot of people don't factor that into their budget. And that's why I like to bring it up, is they're just not factoring in time together as a family, which I don't even know how you would, you know, really say that this is what that's worth. And then actual, I know some people refer to it as vacation. I don't really consider the lifestyle a vacation, but you're doing things that people do for their vacation. This is just your everyday week now.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I think people need to add a lot of value to that before they make the decision. And they'll realize that this life does have some savings. Let's talk about, just for those that, you know, I don't know if everyone's going to have five kids and go traveling with five kids. I look back and I have some regret that, you know, I didn't do at least summer RV trips, but, you know, I mean, you can't live in a life of regret. But I also know, I look back at it, even as a single dad that had custody of all four of my kids, man, I just don't know if I could have done the RV thing with four kids, possibly. But how's that been? And let's describe a little bit of the bunk sleeping arrangement. That's got to be tough with five kids.
Sure. So one of the requirements when we were looking for our RV was we wanted a decent sized bunk room. And so we liked the idea of having the master up front, the bunk in the back, and we wanted it to at least have one slide. We were hoping for two, but it didn't work out. So we have one slide in the back. And so we have a situation where we actually did a lot of remodel on the RV. It came with a bench seat and four beds, and we needed obviously, to accommodate one extra. So we did a lot of renovation. We have two that sleeps in a bunk system on one side. And then the other side, we have a bunk on top and then two fold out. They're like couches, like chairs that fold out to beds at night. So it's not a, it was a single couch, but now it has become like a chair that folds out to two beds. So our two oldest, they sleep side by side, but in their own beds. So that was one of the things we wanted, all of our kids to have their own bed, their own space. You know, they do share a room, but they have their own area for their stuff and for their own privacy when they need to get away from everybody.
I guess a fun question too, are your kids spending more time outside now than they did, you know, before you went full time, less, the same?
No, they actually spend more time outside now, definitely. And what we love about it is that one of the reasons we did it was to bond as a family, and they actually spend more time together than they used to before we moved into the RV.
Very cool. I mean, they're kind of loaded questions, but you know, I mean, that's the answer I'm hoping for, just because if people are listening and thinking about doing this with their family, like everything I've seen has been a real positive. There are some issues as kids, what I have seen when kids get a little older, and especially if sports are involved or they just want to have some of that high school experience, you know, kind of a thing, I can see how that can get tricky. But for most, if that's not a big priority in their life, like, this is a great lifestyle for kids.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of sports, so because we come back to Mississippi, two of our children have actually been able to participate in sports. They have a softball league that they like to play in. And so because right now we're in Mississippi, one of the reasons that we are back is to allow them to be able to finish the season and play with their team and play the softball that they wanted to play. So I find that, you know, everybody's lifestyle is different in the RV world. And so you can pick and choose how you want it to go. So if you want your child to play a sport for a season, thankfully it's usually just a season, and you can always accommodate to come back and allow them to do that and then get back on the road.
You know, it's funny, if I was ever voted in president, which I don't think will happen, I think the first thing I would do is make July like illegal to have sports. Like at least 1 month a year where there's no possibility, no one's getting their heart broken. Because I grew up where it was seasonal sports. My kids grew up where it was year round. I mean, they were 11 month athletes. And I just remember thinking through, like, as we were getting a little older with, especially my youngest son, I was like, this was really a complete waste of time, that it was so all consuming. You know, like, I think kids should play sports or theater or music and all that kind of stuff. But when it becomes 11 months out and this whole, like, no days off kind of mentality and stuff, I'm just like, no, because it's such a small percentage that even play the sport, not, I'm not talking professionally or even in college, but just even enjoy it after high school. And yet they spent all these years. So that's great that it's still very seasonal. Like, that actually makes me happy that, you know, it's not something they're trying to do 11 months out of the year. No, it's cool that you can get back. I think I've had one other family talk about that. I think they go to Florida because I think for some reason, Florida has like an odd baseball season. So it allows them to be in there when it's not super hot, but then also where their kids can play in their both softball and baseball seasons. And I thought, oh, that's really great. And plus you get some time to, you know, just be stationary, which actually, I mean, you can probably attest to this, that in the full-time life, being stationary for one place for a couple months is actually really nice and brings on like the itch to get back out there.
It definitely does. Yes. I noticed that the longer that we sit still, the more we get anxious and we can't wait and look forward to our next trip and when we're going back out. So definitely it does. It kind of brings out that travel itch in you when you have to sit still for long periods.
No doubt. Well, let's transition a little into work. You know, what are you guys doing on the road that allows, you know, this kind of lifestyle? And I know there's a commitment to go back every once in a while, but if you want to talk a little bit about what you guys are doing for work so people can understand.
Sure. Okay. So my husband, you know, he transitioned from being a pastor, and he decided that he wanted, well, let me give you a little backstory. So we have two of our children are biological, and three of our children are adopted that we adopted previous to this RV lifestyle. And so one of the reasons he felt the need to change directions with his job was because after going through the foster care experience, we adopted them from our state's foster system, and we realized just how difficult it was for foster parents to, you know, be able to take care of the children that are put in their care. They're not heard. And there's a lot of laws that prevent them from being the given the parental guidance that they need. And so he felt impressed to set out to change that. So it first started with working with churches around the country to be able to create systems that would encourage foster parents. And over time, it's opened to doors where now he's actually helping to write bills in our state that kind of give more freedom and more help to the foster parents as they're trying to guide and pick the best path for these children that are put in their care.
You know, it's always so surprising to me the amount of like red tape and hoops you have to go through to adopt.
Yes.
But that anybody can have a kid outside of that. And I've always been like, there needs to be a medium in between the two. Like, I always make kind of the joke that I was 35, I had four kids, I was going through a divorce. And I remember thinking to myself, I kind of finally feel mature enough to start having kids. And I was already four deep with, you know, a failed marriage. And it's not that I want bigger government where they're coming in, but it's just odd that this isn't something that, not necessarily a license, but like, you know, a class, a course, a little something, because it really is tough to adopt. Like, I don't know if I could have adopted and I had four kids. Like, I don't know if I would have been able to qualify with my income, you know, a little bit of, you know, I was a dumb kid, made some dumb mistakes, and those things might have disqualified me. And but it was so funny that outside of that system, I can have as many kids as I want to. I could father 100 kids if I wanted to, and nobody can say anything. So
right,
I appreciate the work, because I think it is, I mean, from what I've heard, it is really tough. And I notice that anytime something's tough, there's a lot of people that will give up. And I get that part of that is to weed out those people. Don't get me wrong. But to the point where really good people are just getting really frustrated and giving up in the process. And we've got these kids that need homes. I think it's great that you guys are, you know, working in and around that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And how are the kids, especially, you know, being adopted and then obviously then hitting the road, how has that been for the three, if that's okay asking?
Yeah. So that was one of the reasons behind, besides the job change, it was one of my motivations is that I knew that our family, you know, is kind of like a blended family, and we needed to bond. Even though the children that we adopted, they were in our home for quite some time before we adopted them, for years. But it was the fact that now they had our last name. Now we were for real their parents. And so there was this desire in me that we needed to make sure that we were blending, that we were bonding as a family. And like I said, our kids, you know, they are now bonded together more than they were before RV life. And that was one of our goals. And we knew that the smaller spaces would help with that, with, you know, creating that atmosphere. One of the things we go back to is when we were fostering, whenever we felt like there was a lot of just kind of like chaos going on in the home, you know, from visits and social workers and, you know, just our own family stuff going on, we always felt like, well, we need to go, let's go to the children's museum. Let's take them to the zoo. Let's go to the movies. And we always went back to, those are the moments that we kind of glued together as a family. We forgot all the stuff going on, and we were able to laugh and have fun and bond. Mm. And so this lifestyle, really what motivated us was because we knew we could create that. And that was what helped our family be a family. And so living it full time as a lifestyle now, not every day do we go on adventures and go to the zoo and museums, but we do it more now, like we talked about, than we did in the sticks and bricks. And that was the goal behind us, to help blend our family, which is truly proven to be, it worked. And another reason was our older children was becoming teenagers. And we all know, you know, how we hear about teenagers. They fall away from their parents and they don't want that. They close the doors. And we knew that our older ones were actually becoming teenagers soon. And we felt like we also needed that time to bond with them and create that open line of communication. And that has also been very rewarding with this lifestyle.
No, for sure. And when you were talking about, like, obviously, you know, trying to just bond through, like, you know, the process and social workers and stuff, once you, that's more for the foster program. Like, once you adopt, are social workers out of it?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Once you adopt, they don't come into, yeah, they're gone. But, it was just all the years, like I said, they were in our home for years before we were able to adopt them. So you had all of that creating a little extra chaos to a regular, normal family.
Yeah, because I was actually wondering, I mean, I know they can't, like, unadopt, but I thought if, like, a social worker heard that you, like, sold the bricks and sticks and jumped in an RV, and would they start using terms like gypsies, and, like, all of a sudden now it's, like, an issue. But do you think you could have done this lifestyle while fostering?
No, I don't know. Because you have to be stable, like, I mean, you might live in an RV. The requirement is that they have the basics of life. Like, that was one of the reasons why they have to have their own bed. Mm-hmm. So they can share a bedroom, but, you know, they've got to have their own space. And so that was one of the reasons why we wanted them to have their own bed. But as far as going through the foster process, because of the requirements of going to classes and then having social workers come out to your home regularly, you would have to be more in a stable situation. Like, so you'd have to be parked at one place for a good period of time. I'm not going to say it's not possible. I'm pretty sure that I know a family that has done it. And I think they just go back home when it's time for those meetings, but it probably depends on your state and your social workers.
Yeah, no, for sure. I do find it interesting, though, that even if they said, no, you can't live permanently, can they limit how long your vacation is? You know, it's like, hey, we take most people take 2 weeks vacation. We take 50 weeks of vacation and we only live in the house 2 weeks. Can they limit it that way? Something else I wanted to ask in regards to the fostering, because I think that's just really interesting. And, you know, I mean, hopefully more people are looking at that and thinking about it because it's really needed. Are these kids from different families or were they all the same family?
No, they're from the same family. They were a sibling group.
Oh, that's really sweet that you were able to keep them all together. How amazing. That's awesome. And I do agree with you that as the kids get older, their independence, even in an RV, gets a little tricky. So it's kind of nice to have. I feel like the younger kids always help the older kids kind of help keep them in line because they kind of need to have to show them too. And it's just a nice experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think we did a good job with the work and the life. Now the exploring, there's two things I like to do. It's just, I mean, I think we've touched on it a little, but just to get a really dialed in of, you know, when you're not traveling and when they're not working and they're not in school. And real quick, I'll assume that you're not working, you're home, like, CEO, or is it RV CEO, and you're the teacher and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm pretty much the teacher, and also, you know, work with brands and do content creation on my social media platforms as well as run my husband's website and blog. And so, yeah, I'm kind of, I do all that behind the scenes.
Gotcha. But just even the home CEO is a full-time job, and it's something I've talked about. And, you know, both my parents were in television, so I was a latchkey kid. I never experienced, you know, one parent being home, but it's a job that I think, like all these jobs, I wish we made that more of a priority. And then obviously the trades, I feel like we really made, you know, kids think they were second class citizens if they went into the trade. I think we made, and I'm not saying which parent has to stay home. I'm not going to get in that because there are some parents that are better equipped to kind of stay home all day. And it doesn't matter if it's mom or dad. But I think that part of our society is missing too, where there can be at least one parent home when these kids get home from school, especially if they're, you know, going to school and coming back.
Yeah.
I love that. So when you guys aren't working, when you're not traveling, when you're not doing the school stuff, what is it that you guys like to do? What are the hobbies?
Well, we love to go hiking, and our favorite is when we are traveling, we try to find national parks and national monuments to go visit. I love it when I can teach something in a book, and then we actually find it in person to be able to give, you know, that extra sense. They don't just get to read about it. They actually get to see it, to touch it, and to be there. And so one of the greatest experiences we had was we did a book study as a family on Daniel Boone. And then we were able to go out to Kentucky and visit Fort Boonesboro and actually see the life that we read about him living. And it brings the learning experience all, you know, to a new level. But we love to do that. And of course, swimming, our kids love to find any kind of lake or ocean or whatever to go swimming. And so, you know, just your typical hiking family, man, that's what we're kind of like woodsy people. So we can stay in a state park or, you know, a place that has a lot of like fishing and natural resources. That's where we kind of prefer to hang out.
Gotcha. Now, was that amount of swimming and hiking part of your life back in the Bricks and Stick? Or is
no.
that okay, so that's new to the travel.
It is. We actually never went on any hikes until we got into RV life.
Same, actually, really. I mean, I might have done a little bit of Griffith Park, but nothing like I've done now. And that's the reason I brought it up. It's amazing that, like, especially Bricks and Sticks kids, that like hiking is just so foreign to them, for a lot of them. I mean, there are some obviously parents that are doing weekend camping and their kids are into it, but it's amazing how it's almost like the 70s and 80s kids, the activity, the bikes, the swimming, the hiking, the being outside. I mean, seeing a kid pick up a stick and play with the stick, you know, things that I grew up experiencing, I see a lot more in this lifestyle than I see in the Bricks and Sticks lifestyle.
Right. Yes, I do too.
That's awesome. Well, everything I'm hearing, you know, I mean, if you want to share a negative to five kids on the road, I don't want to make it all, you know, rainbows and unicorns, and just in case that's not it. But I think there are parents that have really, this has been, you know, one of the hangups is it might just be too much. And so far, I think you've done a really good job of that. I don't know if you want to share anything for parents to think about and know about, that there might be, you know, a slight downside to it.
Sure. I mean, you know, when you have kids that are different ages, so our kids' age range from 15 to 8. And so, you know, if you have the typical getting on each other's nerves, especially in small spaces, rainy days are the worst when everybody's stuck inside. And so that's just typical. I wouldn't say it's any more exaggerated in an RV than it is in a Sticks and Bricks. Kids get on their nerves, on each other's nerves, on parents' nerves, on anybody's nerves, even in a Sticks and Bricks. So I wouldn't say it's more exaggerated living tiny. I will say that there is always a transition period. I think a lot of times when we get ready to go into RV life, we just think we're so excited, and then we move everything in. And that was probably the biggest shock to me, is that I was so excited and we had worked so hard for over a year just to sell everything, to get everything fixed and to get into the RV. And then when we got in here, we realized, oh my goodness, you know, we're not quite as happy as we thought, because there's a transition, you know, getting used to the smaller bedroom. Like, we went from a huge master to this tiny little room with two little walk paths on the side. And, you know, the kids went from having their own rooms to one room. And so there's a transition. And I think a lot of times when people get into it, they're expecting it to be great because they're so excited. But then when they get in there, they realize that, oh, there's some bumps right at the beginning. And sometimes, if they don't know any better, they make up their mind, well, maybe this was a bad decision right off the bat, and before they ever give themselves and their kids a chance to work through those bumps at the beginning.
Yeah, I always encourage people. I don't know if this is a forever lifestyle. I mean, kudos to people that have done it 10 plus years. But I think there needs to be a minimum, like you need to at least do it for a year. And
yeah,
let some of those, because there are some lows in the beginning, because like you said, that's transitional lows. I mean, people even moving, you know, from state to state, or, you know, house to apartment or whatever it is, that a lot of those lows accompany it too, but most people don't give up in those situations like they do in the RV lifestyle.
Right. And I mean, even with learning the details about your RV, I mean, even if you go through all the ins and outs with whoever you buy it from or the dealership, you're still having to learn about a place that you're living in. It's no different than if you bought a house or you rented a house or an apartment. You'd have to learn, you know, when you turn the faucet on and the pipe makes the sound, what does it mean? I mean, so you have those transitions coming into RV life regardless. I mean, it's no different than a sticks and bricks, but you have to learn those ins and outs. We've had some ups and downs. When we first moved in, I think it was like 3 months into living full time. We had left to go to town and one of the kids left the faucet running in the bathroom and we didn't know. And when we came home, water was literally running out of the side of the RV. I mean, you know, so you have to deal with those situations and determine that, okay, let me go back to why am I doing this? I know this is inconveniencing and we might have to rip up the floors and, you know, there might be some stuff that comes out of this that we're not wanting to deal with, but you have to remind yourself that why did I get into it? Even with your marriage and even with, you know, your kids, there come seasons where you're going to go through those attitudes. You're going to go through those rough moments. Being in small spaces, you're going to rub each other the wrong way. And even in those moments where you have to stop and go, okay, I think I'm done. I don't think I can do this anymore. I think I'm ready to go back to the sticks and bricks. Then we always remind ourselves to come back, take a deep breath and go, why did we start doing this? You know, what is the bigger picture behind this? Because sometimes we can make a rush decision just based on our feelings and not what's deep down inside and what's, you know, get past what's really, what's going on the surface.
Now is this, I'll speak for me, when I left, our plan was to leave and do this for a year to basically leave California, go to Texas, drive around Texas, figure out where we wanted to live. We were going to do a quick little 6 month trip and then head to Texas. And obviously that turned into 5 years living and working in all 48 states and not buying land in Texas, buying land in Oklahoma. And I will say that the hybrid life so far, and I think even a lot of the content that we're creating is really, it's like, you know, this is a great thing to do for a season and then get into some sort of hybrid life. But I always feel like an RV moving forward, as long as I can, will be part of my life. Just because I prefer traveling in an RV than I do flying in hotels. Do you guys have a time frame? Was it to just go for as long as until it doesn't work out? Or did you have... Are you past your original kind of idea or where are you guys at?
I don't think we really had a time frame. I don't think when we got into it, we knew that he was changing jobs and the idea was, well, as long as he needed to travel, that was the plan. And how we judge is we just kind of go back and check with each other and check with our kids often, you know, is it still working? Is everybody still happy? And if you go ask our kids today, they'll all tell you, no, we don't want to get out of it. We love it. We can't wait to go to the next place. And as long as that's still their attitude and that's still, you know, the motivation behind everybody, then we feel like it's still working for us. But I'm not going to say there'll never come a day where, you know, the kids are going to get older. Like you said about graduation, we have one quickly approaching there. And I'm not going to say, you know, it won't get to that place where you're going to have to go, well, maybe it is time to transition to something else. But I will say that RV life has taught us that we can live with a lot less. So when we do transition back to the sticks and the bricks and stationary life, it'll be more of a simpler place, a simpler home than what we were accustomed to before.
And I think it's such a valuable, you know, kind of lesson. I know if you're a regular listener, I bring this up a lot, but this is why I talk about that. I mean, your kids are going to be at a great advantage because they're learning that less is more, you know, kind of lifestyle right now. But I really do wish this was something I could have learned in my 20s. I think it would have helped me, you know, the whole, you know, trying to compete with the Joneses, the idea of the things making me happy and not the experiences, especially, you know, in all the times that we'd move and it'd be stuff that we spent a lot of money on that had no value. I mentioned talking about how I had to help someone move out of their storage unit that they had for about 2 years. And I know it was like $60 a month and I probably couldn't find $200 worth of value in that storage unit. And I'm not talking about, you know, like personal mementos and family heirlooms. I'm just talking about like IKEA furniture that, they literally stored for 2 years that cost them thousands at, you know, at the end of 2 years that they could have just thrown away. And after 2 years went and bought brand new. It's great that your kids are learning this because it is something powerful. Even now, as you know, I'm 52, I did this for 6 years. As I started thinking about building like a home, it's twofold. I think about, okay, what do I really need? And then how, when I'm not here, how do I rent it out? And like those, that's like my thinking now, where before I hit this road, when we were thinking about Texas, I will tell you that I think I had 5,000, 8,000 foot square home in mind, more so that, you know, the kids and grandkids could come visit. Now I'm more like maybe 1200 square feet, but with a bunch of little cabins on the property. So when the kids do come visit with their kids, they're in the cabins. They don't have to stay in grandpa's house.
Yeah.
I think it's better for everyone.
It definitely changes your mindset about, you know, just making memories and that memories, you know, they're priceless, and it just, it changes your mindset about what you want to transition to when you're done. And like, just less is more. Less is more when it comes to RV life.
I agree 100%. Now, if people want to find you and talk to you, where they can reach you, and remember, folks, you don't have to remember the spelling or anything that she puts out. I'm going to put it down in the notes. If we share it on any of the channels, we'll have a link there for you to click as well. But Gretchen, where can people find you and maybe ask questions, see your content? I know probably people that have multiple kids might have some questions.
Sure. You can find me at The Mindful Nomadic. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Facebook. And I also have a blog, which is www.themindfulnomadic.com.
Nice. And again, folks, I'll link that all down below so you can just click it and go right there. Gretchen, I want to thank you for your time. It sounds like you are a very busy woman, so I appreciate the time that you put together for this call. And I wish you and your family nothing but happiness on the road.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on.
Another great episode. Big thank you to Gretchen for coming on the show and sharing her story. If you are thinking about traveling with your kids, I hope this really inspires you to get out there and do it. Maybe you're thinking it's too much with two, and they're out there doing it with five, so you can easily do it. You can connect with her by clicking the links in the show notes if you have any questions or want to follow along with their adventures. As this podcast really is ad-free, the only thing I talk about is subscribing to the magazine, which you can in digital for $10 a year, or receive it in print, and you also get a free digital that you can give to someone if you want, for $30 a year. Just head over to rootlessliving.com, grab your subscription today. It's a big help in growing the magazine. And you know what's a big help in growing the podcast? Sharing it with your family and friends. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just go ahead, click the share button, copy, link it, tell someone, let them know if they're thinking about making a change in their lifestyle, getting a little bit more unstuck, this is a great podcast to listen to. Until the next episode, stay rootless.